Why is it that some people don't get breakthroughs? They pray and they pray and they ask God for things and it doesn't happen. You pray and people don't get healed. Or you pray for that job to come through and it doesn't happen. Have you prayed for things and then it doesn't happen? And you feel so despondent afterwards. You think, but God doesn't like me. He just doesn't care anymore. And I just have this picture, and I think many of us are being challenged by the sermons that Pastor Fred and like Henny last week came, where he preached, and they say that we must love people like He loves us, and we must sacrifice our lives, and we must give everything to Him. And the church in Acts 2 that sold everything and they moved in together and they spread it evenly. Those are very challenging things to say. And it's things that you can't say from your heart. It's not things that you can do. It's only things that you can get inspired to do. And for me, I just believe that on the one side, there's God that wants to bless us, really, really bless us. And on the other side, there's a devil and Satan and dark forces that wants to destroy you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Everything that that you have, everything that you aspire, everything that you love, he wants to take away because he's going to hell and he wants as many people to go with him because of his hatred for us. And I think it's sometimes just good to say that there's an enemy, there's a Satan that wants to destroy everything that we have. But God is good and his grace is forever and God loves. And if you repent, He brings you in and He restores you. He loves you regardless whether you repent or not. And I just want to make that clear. God loves us incredibly much. There's sometimes things that's withholding us from breakthrough, and in many times it's in our own heart. And this is what I want to share with you about our mountains and its strongholds. I really believe there are certain strongholds in all of us that's preventing us from coming into the goodness and the fullness of what God is for all of us. And these strongholds is designed to prevent you from entering into a blessing that God wants for everybody. And what I want to show you today is that God requires great faith to move from this darkness into the light, because we pray and nothing happens. And I'm going to show you why I believe it doesn't happen to us. But just first look at strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, we do not war against flesh. Oh, although we walk through flesh, we do not war to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. So God has given us weapons that is divine power, and this is to destroy strongholds. Now, it goes further and it quantifies what these strongholds are. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ or to the obedience of Christ. So what there's a world full of opinions and arguments. And all these arguments will tell you, this is how it actually is. This is how it works. And if you do this and this, that is what God wants. And just one of them, there are many roads that leads to Rome. That is one of those arguments that will be thrown to you. And how can you say there's only one God, it's only Jesus Christ? That is a type of a argument that God wants us to break down, because that comes against the knowledge of God. Because God says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So those arguments and opinions, we must break down in the Spirit. We must pray against these things that it can be broken down. And just for on a more personal level, there are so many thoughts. We are many times bombarded with thoughts, and we've got to start taking those thoughts captive and think, this thought that is coming in here, why is it saying to me, yo, I would love to have a double Brennerwein and Coke now? Is it because I don't want to drink anymore? But now, yes, where is this coming from? You bring it before God. Say, God, I haven't drank for 2 years. Now, where is this coming from? You bring that thought to God and you say, Lord, I just want to repent of this desire to whatever the case might be. And so there are many times thoughts has been placed in your mind that you think is your own thoughts. I remember the first time I went to a church, I had this awful, awful thoughts every time I walked in that church, and I felt so disgraced. I felt so terrible. I was so scared someone's going to talk to me because of this thought that was in my mind. Now I realize it was just the devil trying to take me out, that I won't go to church anymore, and he was placing this filthy thoughts in my mind when they sang this worship songs. Yes, I thought of terrible things. And it was because of the walk that I walked in the world. when you walk in the world, there's certain thought patterns that is being created in your mind. And these thought patterns become strongholds. And these strongholds prevent you from entering into the goodness of what God wants for us. So there's strongholds on the one side that is from the devil that's preventing you from walking in fullness. And then there's strongholds that is in Jesus Christ. Now these strongholds is like a protected dwelling place for the soldiers of darkness that will prevent us from victory and freedom. We must allow God and we must bring the word. We must allow the word to break these strongholds down. As a Christian, you can be oppressed by a demon. And I think it's good to say that. And many times you have these thoughts and you have this type of sin that you can't get rid of. You've been prayed for, you've been counseled for many times, but you still struggle with this thing. And it's probably because you need deliverance. There's something there that is preventing you from walking in the freedom. If you for years struggle with something, you can't get breakthrough in this area, it's probably because you need deliverance. And someone, you need to trust God to bring, that you can get a deliverance in that area. Now, the good news tonight is that deliverance always will come after repentance. So when you repent and you really from your heart say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. When you start repenting, then the devil doesn't have a stronghold. He doesn't have a foot in the stronghold anymore. And he starts breaking this thing. So when we're talking about the grace message and it says to you, you don't have to repent anymore because Jesus paid the price. That is a stronghold that it's placing in your mind because you think, oh, I don't have to repent. Jesus paid the price. But now you struggle with this terrible sin and you think, yes, where's it coming from? You feel so guilty and condemned. But if you understand that I can confess, God says as far as the east is from the west, I don't think of that sin no more. That we must just be open to start repenting. Mark 6 verse 12 says, disciples went out, they proclaimed that the people should repent. And then they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So they first preached repentance and then because of that, the demons were cast out and many people got healed. Repentance will precede deliverance and deliverance can precede healing many times in areas that you have that there's healing that you need, but you actually need deliverance in that area as well. And that's what we do Foundations for, where we deal with that specifically. That there's areas in your life that needs to be broken down. Now, the whole thing about the kingdom is many times a battlefield of the mind. It's a battlefield in your mind. It's the devil wanting to place all these thoughts in your mind and it's God on the other side. So, Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So the thoughts that you have in your mind, that is what you will be. If you start saying to yourself negative words, you will become that negative things that you speak over yourself. And that's very important to remember. If you, and with the thoughts in our minds, we build strongholds in our minds. And the word of God is there specifically to break down these strongholds to become free in it. So if you believe that you're a failure and you say, I can never do this. I'm just a sinner. I will never amount to much. Or even if people speak that over you, that becomes a stronghold in your mind. And you start believing that I'm a failure. And you probably won't achieve anything. If you start saying that. If a guy doing the 100 meters at the Olympic Games, if he says to himself, I'm not going to make it, then he's probably not going to make it. I know Frankie Friedrichs, I don't know if you know who he was. He was a 200 meters and a 400, was he 400, 200 meters athlete from Namibia. And Michael Johnson said in his book, the only difference between me and Frankie Friedrichs was my mind was stronger. Because he knew, he was the only athlete at that time who won the 200 and the 400 meters for Olympic Games. He was the only athlete that could do it. It's just, apparently you can't run 200 and 400 meters together. Very strong man. Just on that note, when he was in Cape Town long ago, many years, I've got a friend, his name is Christopher Hitchcock. We were friends in university. Christopher is Afrikaans guy. He's a real Dutchman, but he's got the most English name I've ever known, Christopher Hitchcock, but he can't speak English. And we saw Michael Johnson on the airport, and he ran to him. He was so excited to see this big man. He's a huge guy, very muscular. And he said to him, excuse me, sir, with a pen, can I have your handwriting, please? Anyway, he looked at him, and he just signed his paper. But there's this thing that we think all these negative thoughts about us, and what we must learn to do is to start speaking the word of God over ourselves. We must learn and say, Philippians say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We must believe that God is good, that God has a plan for you, and we must start speaking scripture over us, over what God wants, the destiny that God has for, the destiny for our children, the destiny for our family, the destiny of our friends. We must start speaking scripture over us. Maybe you fear man as well. I had a big thing. The other day I actually realized that there was an oppression with me of a fear of man. And I remember when I had to do the offering in Stellenbosch, I would like want to throw up every time for a year. And then the next day I was still just very nervous, but you get so tense that you want to throw up and you want to go to the bathroom all the time and you're very, very nervous. And I remember the one day Angus Bachan was preaching in the Stellenbosch town hall, and I was the poor soul that had to do the offering. And I was so nervous that day. And Heinrich just came and he put his hand on my shoulder and he prayed over me. He said, Theo, God is calling you for something different. But I knew that I had to overcome the fear of man. And because God, I must fear God. And that was the one where I believed that God was doing it to me. So I was just challenging myself to do the offering, even though I was so nervous. But maybe you feel embarrassed many times when you with people. You just become very embarrassed. Or when people speak, you know you should speak, but then you keep silent and you withdraw yourself, and all these funny thoughts come in your mind and you like withdrawn. That could be because of a fear of man, that there's a fear of man in you. And you must repent of these thoughts and say, Lord, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, that I'm more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there's no fear in, love. Love casts out fear. And you start speaking those words over yourself, because God can use you when you fear Him. He can't use you when you fear man. The third stronghold that I just want to touch on is that you are cold to people. It's a false coldness. It's a cold love that you might have. You're very friendly and I are you, but you're very distant. And I want to just say something. Love without commitment is not love. Love, when you love someone, there's something that goes with it. It's just this picture where I come home and I say to my wife, yes, sir, I really wanted to bring you flowers today. Or I come home and she said, you know, I was actually thinking of making you something nice to eat today, but, you know, there's no food. There's some love, there's commitment that goes with love. There's something that you do with your wife or your husband or the people around you. And the same when Jesus says that we will be known as His disciples because of the love that we have for one another. There's actually something that happens with that. You are motivated because of the love of God. Because you understand how much Jesus loves you, you are motivated to reach out to people because of the love that is in you. That is a sacrificial love. It's not how I feel, but it's because of what God has done for me. And you want other people to understand that Jesus is amazing, what He's done for me. And I just trust God for that experience, that you have experience with God, that you understand that God is real. If you haven't experienced God, it will be fear in your mind. You will not be motivated by His love. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't experienced God, let me come forward to pray for you. You might be loveless because of unforgiveness. If there's people that you need to forgive, it's just one of those rules. Unfortunately, it would be great if we didn't have to do it, because it takes so much out of you to forgive people. Hey, Morris. Sometimes it's so difficult because they do things and they take knives and they put it in your back. And you like, oh, it's so sore. Why? I've done so much for you. Now you turn around against me. You've got to forgive that. If you don't forgive, it becomes bitterness. And bitterness is unfulfilled revenge. It means I want to get you back and I will get you back, but I can't because I'm a Christian. But now you have this bitterness in your heart. And that cancels praise. God, that cancels healing. That cancels many things. Bitterness, unforgiveness in your heart. And that's why God wants us to forgive. Not because He's a strict God, but because He knows it cancels blessing on your life. The fourth one is false discernment. And yeah, I just want to read to you. Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Many people believe that they judge everyone. They tell you this ministry is orphan, that one is orphan, look what that person is doing again. And they judge the world all around them. And I just want to say to you, Matthew 7 says, judge not that you be not judged. Verse 2 says, for the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, we many times think that God has called me and set me apart to judge all these people around us. That's not what He's done. He's called you and He separated you to love people as He loved us. That is what we meant to do. We meant to love. If you see there's a, maybe there's a church that there's a gap in, we're supposed to go and fill that gap and pray for that church. We're not supposed to judge them and speak negatively about them, because we're building strongholds against ourselves. And I'm going to talk about it later on. When you curse other people, you're actually cursing yourself. When you pronounce blessing, you're blessing yourself. And that's why when you need breakthrough in your life, if you need a new car, pray for someone else to get a new car. If you need a wife, pray for someone else to get a wife. It's just how it works. God wants us to look out for other people, to look at the needs of other people. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. So if you focus on yourself, it's probably not going to come through, because God wants you to release, to give over to Him. That is where our breakthroughs come in. So there are three ungodly strongholds that I just want to look at. These strongholds bring us into bondage, into darkness. I just want to say that again, but the Word of God brings us into the truth that will bring us into life. The first one is the world, your home, your culture, where you've been brought up, your friends, your school, your university, what they teach you, television. They will do movies to change the mindset. I remember long ago, Rambo fought against the Russians. That was the big thing. And the whole world hated the Russians. And then suddenly the Russians is okay again. And you see, you get the Russian heroes. And now they fight against the Afghanistan again. So, and then like 2 or 3 years later, there's war against Afghanistan. They use television to change our mind. So most of you, if I must ask you about abortion, you'll say, yes, a woman has a right to have an abortion. But it's because there's a stronghold in your mind that is focused you to think that it's right. The world wants you to think that way, but God says you're murdering. We can't kill children, because if you leave the baby, it's a baby already. At conception, there is a baby. So I'm not want to go into that. Maybe Yaku and I and Audrey, we were just talking about Lady Gaga. Now, if you want to go to her shows, I just want to say to you, it's really hectic. We must pray for her salvation. We don't talk against her as a person, because she's just a lost soul. But her whole show is built around satanic rituals. So I just want to say that as well. So if you go and listen to her music, you're just opening yourself to demonic stuff, and it's building strongholds in your mind. Now you're getting off dreams, and you wonder where this is coming from, and you ask people to pray for you. But Lady Gaga and Pink Floyd in my days and all those, you still listen to that music. But that music is designed to bring you into bondage. And I just think it's important that we say to one another that the love of God says, you can't love the world and you can't love me. You'll have to make a decision sometimes, because those things build strongholds in your mind to keep you away from the goodness of who God is. The second origin of strongholds can be experiences. You might pray for a family member, or yourself, you know, you don't get healing. Now you believe God doesn't heal anymore. That can be a stronghold. Now later on you want to pray, but you actually don't believe that God heals, and that is a stronghold. You've got to confess the Word of God. Then the third one is wrong doctrines. We are influenced by people's opinions and arguments and doctrines quite a lot. And I just want to say to you, God is good and God is faithful. Will this good God that created the heavens and the earth, He spoke it and it came into being, only reveal His truth to 10 or 15 people, a few little people, or will it give it to everyone else? So if you think you've got a secret knowledge, you're probably deceived. I just want to say that, you know, God talks to everyone the same. He doesn't want to give certain people, and these people are very angry, you'll find many times, and because you believe that, why don't you use God's name in Hebrew? You must say Yahweh or Yeshua Yamaseah. You are off. There's something wrong with you. I just want to say to you on that note, if you want to keep Saturday as your Sunday, it's good. But just do it. I spoke to Johan earlier. But just start at 6 o'clock on a Friday and keep it until Saturday. But Sunday you must work. Because 6 days you will work and 7th day you rest. So make sure you work for 6 days. Don't take the other day off as well, because then you're in sin. So I just want to say that to you as well. So be careful that you don't get deceived by all these doctrines that will draw you away. And eventually you come to a place where you want to circumcise yourself because Jesus was not the real Messiah. The Messiah is still about to come and you get circumcised and you fall from grace. This covering with believers come together. We must trust and believe that God has put these people above us because He loves us, not because they want to dictate, because they love us. And this is why it's important to read the Word of God all the time. It's so important. Just on that note as well, Jesus got risen from the dead on the Sunday, and they called it the Lord's Day. And to separate themselves from the Jews at the time, because their belief was a bit different, they started going to the synagogue on Sundays. And that's where the Sunday worship came, not because of the Babylon and all those things that many people believe. Now, I want to say that God wants us to go from the strongholds into godly strongholds. And something that Christianus did this morning was so amazing, but just to praise God. It doesn't matter how bad things goes, that you learn to praise God in your circumstances, that you praise God and say that God is good, even though it feels like you're falling apart. This is so important, to praise God, especially when it goes bad, because God is good, because we're going to heaven. That is a way for us to remain in God's protection, that we proclaim, we speak that God is good. Because I want to say to you, it doesn't matter how bad it goes here, when we go to heaven one day, we're going to rejoice. The guys that is going well here, if they don't have Jesus in their heart, they're going to scream and shout and gnash van tanden for eternity. So we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be. And when it goes bad, it's because God is forming us. He's building our character. He's making good things. And if there's bad things that has happened to you, God will use it for the best for you because He loves us so much. Even though the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, God will use those circumstances to bring the best for who we are. So I just want to say for us, James 4 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We must remain humble. Surround yourself with people that can speak into your life and be open. When you have a doctrine, you think, share it with people. If they say, no, just be careful of that. No, I know, God speaks to me. That's pride. God is going to resist you. You're probably going to be deceived because of that. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not so much on resisting the devil, it's more on submitting to God. As you submit to God, you're automatically resisting who the devil is. That we come to know the truth will set us free. And when you look at the mountains again, as the mountain surrounds Somerset West, Helderberg, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forevermore. Just look at the mountains and know that God's presence is with us. Psalm 61 says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer." And verse 3 says, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings." There is protection in the house of God, in your cell group. When you start not going to cell anymore, and you start not coming to church anymore because now I've sinned and I feel terrible and I'm scared, they're going to think I'm a bad person. I just got news for you. We're all bad people. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's only in God's presence. It's only when believers come together and pray for you. It's only then when we can have victory. And you'll see the in-betweens gets more and more and more. If you fall forward. Just carry on with the ball. Don't separate yourself. When you separate yourself, the devil wants to come out with, wants to take it out. So I just believe the church is God's stronghold. He wants us to bring us in protection here. When you start separating yourself, there's a very good chance that you are going to be taken out. And I think that's why Henny said last week, the church is the body that's been most attacked by any other organization ever in this world, but it still stands. And I think this is this protection in the body of Christ. And that's why we should pray for the church as a whole as well. Now, we have negative strongholds from the devil and we have God's ones. For us to move out from the darkness into the light, I believe we must have faith. We must believe that God is good. We must have faith in God. We must put our trust in God, that good God is good, that He loves you, that He has good plans for you. We must believe that. That is very important, that we believe and have great faith. And I just believe when we speak, when we pray for people, that we pray in faith because we know Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So you're not going to see things. When you have faith, everything to you is going to sound, it's not happening. I shared this morning as well, but then he said, this picture of this man, he's hanging from a branch very high, this cliff that's going down, and he will die if he falls. And he's hanging and he's holding onto this cliff, and he says, God, send someone to help me. God, send someone to help me. And the next moment, this huge angel comes, and he's like 5 meters underneath him, and he says, drop, I will catch you. And this man goes, God, send someone else to help me. Send someone else to help me. And that's many times what we do. We want to figure things out for ourselves. We don't want to wait and trust in God because God knows the best. We want to tell God, this is how you need to do it. But you don't want to wait on Him to show you how it must be done. And I think this is very important for faith, that we must trust God for great faith. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Then verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So if you don't have faith, you can't please God. So if you don't have faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It's also a gift. Ask God, God, I want faith. I want great faith. Give me faith, because nothing will fall into place if you don't have faith. Ask God, like in 2 Kings where Elijah prayed for his servant Gehazi, and he could see the angels on the chariots of fire around him on the mountains. Ask God to open your eyes that you can see God's power, God's goodness, God's favor in who God is. James 1 verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the sea. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, he is unstable in his ways. So if you pray and you pray like this, oh, Here, as you will, genees my, you're not going to get healed because you're doubting. You must believe, thank you, Jesus, that you've paid the price for me, that you say, by your stripes, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you for my healing. That's how you pray. When you start, I don't think God wants me, but I just want to bring this request to you. It's not going to work. You must have great faith. Don't doubt. And, you know, I watched this DVD on the church. Amazing where the churches came from all over the years. And now this man says that the new era that we're going into is a church that actually doubts, that we doubt. I was at 2 years ago, the Woordfeest in Stellenbosch. This professor, he's not a professor at the theology school anymore, but he wrote a book. And in his book, he says that Genesis was written by probably 20 people and not by Moses. And he says Genesis 2 was probably written by a prostitute from Solomon's harem. And not all the stories is true. We can't say that all of them are true. And then afterwards I asked questions, and the one lady said, but if you believe not all the stories is true, how can we believe that, you know, what God is saying is the truth? Or what stories can we believe? And he said, sure, that's a good question. So that is what's happening. If you don't believe this is the Word of God, don't even pray. It won't help you. Because you must believe that this is the Word of God. This changes lives. These words are so powerful. This is the answer to all your problems. When you pray, when you talk, read the Word of God. Everything, all the answers to life is in this Word. Everything that you must do must be according to this Word. When you speak, when you pray, pray Scripture to God. That's the most powerful prayer. If you want God to listen, pray according to His will, and He will answer it for you. Don't doubt, because you'll be a double-minded man. If you want faith, read the Word of God. Read it aloud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Mark 11 says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass. It will be done for him. If you don't doubt, that what you ask will come to pass. So whatever you ask, if you don't doubt. And the thing is, because we don't see the miracles, we doubt. And we go, and it's fine. I mean, I'm there as well. Oh, God. And the first thing we want to go back is into the law. It's great to say all these things. You know, God But when you need that breakthrough and it's not happening, then suddenly you want to start doing things and you fall back into the law. And this is where we really need great faith. Verse 24 says, therefore, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've already received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If there's anything against anyone, so that your Father, who's also in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So great prayers of great faith can be cancelled because of unforgiveness that we have in our heart. Doubt, unbelief, and unforgiveness cancel our prayers. Then, do you know the scripture? Jeremiah 29, verse 11, before you put it up. Okay, now it's too late. But, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You all know that scripture. Everyone writes it on their pens, and that's a great scripture. It's great scripture. God wants to give us a future and a hope. But say, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. When you know the plans that God has for you, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. Do you see what I'm saying? If you know what God has, the plans He has for you, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. And then it continues and it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So when you know the plans that God has for you, it motivates you to start praying and seeking God with all your heart, seeking God who He is with everything that you have. This is, if you're not, and that's why I want to encourage you, come to intercession on Friday mornings, 5:30 in the morning. We made it a little bit later so that all of you can be there. But are you dedicated for Jesus? Do you want to see God's kingdom come in this place? Or do you want to sleep late? Do you want to sit under the spirit of Duvet for the rest of your life? Or do you want to sit and see God's kingdom come in this place? Do you want to see people get saved, people get healed, people get breakthrough in their lives? Do you want to see your company revival? Do you just want to see schools in revival? Do you want to see people falling on the street and start crying before God? Or do you want to see them getting drunk on Friday nights, getting full of drugs, sleeping with their friends as girlfriends, and fighting and playing with one another? Or do you want to see God's kingdom come in this place? Come and pray with us. Come and pray before the time. I was very blessed this morning, or this afternoon as well, how many of you came to pray. But God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray His kingdom into being. We can't sit there and be the suckers anymore. We've been suckers for too long. It's not time for God's kingdom to come. We've been victims. We're not called to be victims. We're called to be victors in the name of Jesus. God has called us to do great things in His name. He's given us all the tools, but we're standing there and we're feeling sorry for ourselves. It's time to pray, church. God didn't give us the gift of prayer. He says, my church is a household of prayer. There's not a gift, apostle, prophet, a teacher, evangelist, and a prayer. It's not there. All of us must pray. If you don't have a heart for prayer, it's because you have not come to that place where you know what the plans of God is, because you're not seeking it, because you've not had an experience with God. If you haven't had that experience, I want you to invite to come forward, that we can pray with you, that God can reveal Himself to you. James 5, verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power in its working. Then it says Elijah prayed fervently and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and it started raining. But he was a normal man like us. All of us should pray. All of us. But the thing is, your sins, unforgiveness, doubt, what was the other one that I said? Doubt and unbelief cancel your prayers. Come. Bring, say, Lord, if you have sins, just bring it forth. Say, I've sinned. The good thing is we all have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Be open. Just respond. Just respond, because God wants to raise you up. Don't be a person that sits being the victim all the time. And, oh, if God can only come through for me, start speaking it into being. That is what God has called us. That is the grace of God. Now, I just want to finish off by just saying, the things that we speak is very important. We can speak either life or we can speak death. What you speak over yourself, what you speak about people can either build strongholds or it can break them down. God has called us to speak to our mountains, to break them down, to speak against them, not to speak against people, but to speak against the things that is manifesting against God, that we must pray. And also, something that I want to say about spiritual warfare as well and praying is, the aim of spiritual warfare is not war, but it's to become Christ-like. It's to become like Jesus is. So when you pray, don't pray against principalities and powers and against this demon and that demon. Pray for people to get saved. That's what we pray for. Lead people to Jesus. When the demons doesn't have souls to live in anymore, they've got to go. But we pray against all these things and they laugh at us. We must pray because we don't love people. We must pray for people. We must draw them. We must tell them about what Jesus has done for you. There's this guy, Frank Jenner. He was an old man, 1937. He was a matroos, and he had gevloek soos a matroos, and he had gedrink soos a matroos, a lekker ou. And this man got saved. A man asked him, if you die today, are you sure you'll go to heaven? Do you have Jesus in your heart? And this guy got so convicted, he went to his pastor, and he said, look, to a pastor, he said, I don't know, and he accepted Jesus in his heart. 1937, for 40 years, every day, he promised God he will speak to at least 10 people a day. If he was sick, he would wait a while, and then he will speak to more people the next day, just to make up so that he could average out 10 people a day. This one man who was a pastor in England, and he was preaching, and he asked if there's anyone with a testimony, and this guy came forward, and he said, you know, I was in Sydney in St. George Street, and there was this annoying old man that came to me and asked me, if you must die tonight, are you sure you're going to heaven? Do you have Jesus in your heart? And I was so convicted, I went to someone, I said, look, I don't know Jesus, I want to give my heart to the Lord. And this pastor was so touched by this man's testimony, and he went to another church, and he preached, and he told the story, and a guy said, you know, that happened to me. There was this annoying man in St. George Street in Sydney, and this happened. Then later on, he was in India, and the pastor, the missionary, and he told the story, he said, it happened to me as well. There was this annoying man in St. George Street in Sydney, and he asked me if I must die tonight. Am I sure I'm going to heaven? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Eventually, many places that he's gone to, pastors, missionaries, that all this man has spoken to. So this pastor had the opportunity to go to Sydney, and he wanted to look up this man. And he went to the Baptist church, and they said, no, we know this man. His name is Frank Jenner. He's very old now. He doesn't come out of his house anymore, but we'll take you to him. And he went to this man, and this man was very old. And he asked him, and he said, never in his life anyone came to Christ that he's spoken to. But he's spoken to more than 100,000 people. And this man shared with him how many people got saved through his ministry just by asking people, are you sure if you must die tonight, you're going to heaven? That is love. That is commitment. That is dedication for Jesus, because this man understood what the Lord has done for him. Because someone took the time to ask him, are you sure you're going to heaven? 100,000 people, many people's lives got saved. 2 weeks later, he died. Huh? Isn't it amazing what God, when people get touched by God, when they start asking and speaking the right words? Proverbs 18 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit of it. Psalm 34 says, keep your mouth from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Proverbs 21 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. We so many times say things and then later on we regret what we've said. Bill Johnson said, he said it to the Americans, instead of speaking to our mountains, we write songs about them, but we must speak to our mountains. 1 Peter 3:10 says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. When God said, let there be light, there was light. When he said, he spoke everything into being, we stand in the authority of Christ. Every word that we speak brings either life or death. And God says we must choose. And as your soul is, that is how you will be. So if there's filth coming out of your mouth, it's because you need to come and repent. Say, God, my mind is filthy and my heart is filthy. I just want to repent. I just want to bring it before you. So I'm just going to ask you to stand, and if the worship team can just come forward, and I just want them to minister a song to us. And while we're just closing our eyes, I just want to ask you this question. If you must die tonight, are you sure that you are going to heaven? Or is there any doubt in your mind that you're not sure? I'm actually not too sure. I don't know. Maybe. I think so. Yes, I think so because I'm a good person. If you doubt tonight that you might not go to heaven, I just want you to be bold and just raise your hand and I can pray for you. And I'm not asking this to put you on the spot. I'm asking you because I love you. And I want you to know that God loves you. Because He doesn't want you to end in a place where you're unsure. Because that is torture. That is torture. God doesn't want us to walk in a life of torture. He loves us so much. He wants you to be known. Know how much you are loved. Then I just want to pray. Just close your eyes, please. Yes, Father, we just want to bring ourselves and our thoughts to You, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, for each one of us, Lord, that You will show us what the strongholds are that's preventing us from coming into the kingdom, into the fullness of who You are for each one of us, Lord. Father, maybe there are some of us who feel like a failure and we have all these negative thoughts in our minds that we will never amount to anything. And then I really believe that You want to set us free, that You want us to respond to that and say, I'm not a failure, I'm an overcomer through Jesus Christ. That Jesus, I'm a son of the living God, I'm a daughter of the living God. If that is you, I just want you to come forward that we can pray with you. If you have fear of man, if you are afraid of people all the time, and you know this is preventing you from having breakthrough, in life, I also want to invite you to come forward that we can just trust God to come forward that He can touch you and do and your His anointing can rest upon you. If you need the love of God in your life, come forward. If you are judging people all the time, you must come and repent of that. To come and just repent it before God and say, God, I've sinned. I bring it before You and I understand Your grace that when I confess my sin, You are good and faithful to take it away from us and that I will be healed. If you need faith, if you need God to impart the gift of faith in your life, I also want to ask you to just respond on that word. Just come forward if you need faith and if you need a touch from God again, if you need to know that God is true for you, because you know you're in the circle, the spiral going down. And you're not sure where it's going to end. And all these negative things is in your mind. I want you to respond as well. Because God wants to set you free. God wants you to become someone that stands and speaks to the mountains. And have great faith. That believe good things are to come. If you have unforgiveness, bitterness or offense in your heart. If there's people that you can't, every time, if they speak that name, you cringe. You just feel, oh, not that guy. I hate that guy. You must come forward. That hatred will turn, God says you're actually a murdering heart. And it's only God that can help you, that can heal you. But you need to come and forgive. You need to come and bring this offense before God. If that is with you in any way, I just want you to come and respond that God can do the healing. It's not, we cannot forgive people in our own strength. It's only by the blood of Jesus. Only God that can give us the power to forgive. Because all of us are actually just useless. But it's in Jesus that we have the strength. It's in Jesus that we have the breakthrough. And then just lastly, if you have a filthy mouth, or you speak very negatively about people all the time, you're very critical. Just come and respond. Come and bring that before God. Just come and bring it before God and say, Lord, I just want to repent of my tongue. And I want You to come and wash my tongue with the blood of Jesus. Because I want to speak life. I want to speak life. I want to be able to speak to my future. To speak life to my family. To where I am. I want to be someone that brings life. That brings blessing. That doesn't bring curse in this world. If there's anyone that want to respond to any of these things that I've said, I just want to invite you to come forward that we can pray. I'm just going to ask Christy and them to just do a song that you can just do it in your time. So just respond on the word of God. Yes, Father, we just want to speak a blessing over every person who's here tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You will reveal yourself, Lord, to all of us in a mighty, powerful way as the God that loves us, as a holy God, a God that has a future and a hope for all of us, Lord. Father, I just want to speak a blessing over every person here in Jesus' name. Amen.